All right.
7 p.m. Mr. Stahl, will you call the roll?
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
I'm sorry, Mayor Pro Tem.
That's okay, we excuse you.
Alderman McCowan.
Present.
Alderman Schnell.
Present.
Mayor Sanford. Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
We have a quorum.
In honor of Mayor Moses, please silence your cell phones. And stand for the pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
All right. Special presentation tonight. We're going to turn this over to Mr. Don Manning of Patillo, Brown, and Hill for an audit report.
Ms. Mayor Pro Tem and Council, thank you for letting me be here. My name is Don Manning, and I'm with the firm of Patillo, Brown, and Hill, and we're here to present the results of the independent audit for the 2015 year. And if you'll look in your bound documents, we have two, the actual financial statements. This letter that I think you go over and the letter in the back are really the only part of this that belongs to us. The financial statement responsibility rests with the city. Our responsibility is to express an opinion on those numbers as presented, and that's what this report is stating here. It's what we refer to as an unmodified opinion, which means that we did not have to modify this to any material weaknesses or any significant deficiencies or things like not keeping up with capital assets or not keeping up with your grant. So of the four types of opinions that we can offer as outside auditors, the unmodified opinion is the highest level of assurance that we can offer. And it also, if you read in this, it also does say that we offer reasonable assurance, not absolute. In order to do absolute assurance, we're not allowed to do that as auditors because there's no way we can look at every invoice and every transaction that happens throughout the city. So that's why standards dictate that we call this limited assurance. And that's the way it's been for several years. If you look at page 4, the management's discussion and analysis, what this does here is it's a narrative of what happened during the year for the city. It's the only place anymore that actually has comparative numbers. So if you look on page 6 and 7, it actually goes through and shows what happened to cash and capital assets and different things like that this year. So if you can kind of go through and look and see some of the things that as y'all sit through these meetings and things that occur, you can see that those things transpired and funneled their way into the financial statement. So with that, it also gives a synopsis of your capital assets at the end of the year there on page 8. Those have went up very much over the last several years after the city was fortunate enough to be able to get a lot of grants and be able to do a lot of repairs, do some things to the water system, do some things to roads, do some things to a lot of things throughout the city. And with them being grants, those have transpired into capital assets. So those items all are shown here as well. If you look at page 10, there's two columns there. There's the governmental activities. That's essentially the general fund of the city, the one that levies the taxes, the one that collects the sales tax, things like that. And there's the business type activities, which is essentially your water and sewer operations. And the first thing that I'd like to go down to the bottom is in your net position there at the bottom of page 10. Both of those categories are positive. And what that means is, in theory, if you got rid of all of your assets and paid all of your liabilities, what would be left? Now, that number in the general fund is about $7.3 million, and the water sewer fund is about $2.7 million. The reason those numbers are so high is predominantly because of capital assets, your water tanks, your buildings, things like that. And your governmental activities, those numbers add up to about $6.3 million, and your water sewer, they're about $2.5 million. City ended the year with about $1 million of cash, and not a lot of capital asset activity this year just because there hasn't been as much with the grants. So things have started dwindling down. They're running their course. So a lot of the big capital asset additions and infrastructure things have slowed down. So those increases have slowed down as well. Accounts payable, that's just numbers that the invoices that you've received prior to the end of the year but haven't been able to pay until after. That's what those are there. And currently, other than compensated absences for vacation and things that the city has accrued, the city has no debt to speak of. One thing that we had to implement this year, you'll see a new line item called net pension asset. This was the first year that governmental entities had to implement what we call GASB Statement 68, which makes you put on your accrued unfunded liability for your participation in Texas Municipal Retirement System.
I'm sorry, Mr. Manning. What page is that on?
That's on page 10. And normally, at most cities, that number's been a liability, but because of the city's plan and the way that their assets are structured, the city actually has a net pension asset. So if you look there, there's about $100,000 asset there. Now, that's a theoretical actuarial number, not any things that you can actually spend. So if you look, you can see now, if you start looking on page 29, you can see that now the retirement section is about 5 or 6 pages instead of a half page that it used to be with this new standard. So if you look on page 32, you can see that with the actuarial study, they've determined that the city has a liability of about $1.5 million for people that are going to retire from the city. That's what it's measured as at 12/31/14. But then the city and the employees contribute to that plan. And those assets are listed here at about 1.6. So under these two, under this study, there's more assets than liabilities. So instead of having to present liability, we report it as an asset. So this is something that's totally new to the city. And I just wanted to make sure that you pointed out that this was a new standard and that people that review these that know what they're doing are going to look and make sure that those numbers have been done. And you can look at that information out on TMRS's website. And just for future reference, those numbers are not going to impact any bond rate or anything. People who look at financial statements have already been including that number in their analysis of these cities as well. And if you look in your old reports, you can see there's been a 3-year trend of what that number is supposed to be. It's just never had to been booked in the financial statements. So that's really the main thing that changed this year. And back to the financial statements, if you look over on page 13, this is the general fund of your governmental funds. You only have the general fund and the water sewer fund. Again, ended up with about $1 million of cash. There's some unpaid taxes receivable that are common at every entity and some uncollected municipal court fines. And those are all set with your unavailable deferred inflows of resources down there. So in the end, the general fund has a fund balance of about almost $950,000, which is about 8 or 9 months of expenditure. So that's a fairly healthy position for a governmental agency to be in. If you look over on page 14, you can see that this year the general fund did add about $50,000 there too. Ending fund balance to get it up to about 9.5 from a little bit under 900,000 last year. So you just want to look at that schedule. You can see that predominantly the things that operate your general fund are your property taxes, sales tax, and franchise taxes, and your general government law enforcement things are your big expenditures. So, you know, if you looked at this year versus last year, not a lot of changes there. And also, if you look on page 16, this is the balance sheet for your water and sewer fund, and as you can see, a little bit less cash here, some receivables for water bills due as of the end of September 30, 2015, but nothing out of the ordinary. And you can also see the capital assets there because these are kept on full accrual. We actually have to keep the capital assets in just like you would if it was a regular business entity. Customer deposits, the money that people pay for their deposits, that's shown here as a liability, but no long-term debt, no leases, no bonds, none of that kind of stuff. So you're one of the few cities that we have that actually does not have any debt incurred. So that's kind of a feather in the cap of the city there. The water sewer fund was able to add money to fund balance by the end of the year. It ended up at about $2.7 million net asset position. So all in all, from a financial standpoint, the city's in good financial strength. As a part of what we do, we look at various controls, and we look at receipts, and we look at disbursements. We also normally are subject to the Single Audit Act because of the level of federal expenditures that you guys have. Y'all did not meet that threshold this year, so your schedule of federal awards and your other opinion letter aren't in the back this year because y'all did not have enough grant money to actually generate having to have the report that. But we still had to walk forward to grants and make sure that that number was under the $500,000 limit. Just FYI, $500,000 in expenditures is what triggers the single audit. Next year for 16, that's been up to $750,000. So unless y'all get a new grant or there's a grant that's really big, you shouldn't be susceptible to single audit next year either. So back on page 39 and 40, on page 39, this is, again, it's the government auditing standards, and it's, like I said earlier, we did not have any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses to report. So with that, I'd be glad to entertain any questions or...
Okay, thank you. Alderman Bowles, do you have any questions?
No, I do not.
Alderman Hoskins.
On page 17, can you explain the $66,000 operating loss?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
On page 17, could you explain the $66,000 operating loss and how that's derived? I mean, just a little background on it.
That's just your water, sewer, and sanitation, and just operating expenses that normally occur. And, you know, predominantly, if you look up there, the depreciation, it's $71,000, which is really a cash outflow. So
it actually,
if you take that out, it was positive. Yes.
Okay.
Or about even.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Snell. Mr. Mann, how many hours did you spend doing this on?
We were here for three solid weeks of field work and with three people. And then we were here, we actually worked with the report in our office for about a week and a half with three people as well. So several weeks, close to a month.
And actual hours spent?
I don't have that number in front of me, but, you know, 40, 120, 240, 360, you know, probably 400 or 500 hours maybe.
Could you explain the difference between what you do and what's called a forensic audit?
Well, a forensic audit is where you actually contract with an outside party to perform an agreed-upon level of work. This is what we call just a regular audit under generally accepted accounting principles.
For 400 hours or so?
Yes. And then a forensic audit would be like if you say, you know, some of the places that collect hotel and motel, you know, you're not allowed to spend over 10% of those funds on travel and promotion. So a lot of times they'll contract with us to go in and look at separate things or some things that they want to look at in particular. But, you know, going through and doing a regular audit, this is the way most firms do their audits, is by going in and doing the prescribed procedures, following audit programs, and doing what we're supposed to do.
Okay. How long have you been a CPA?
21 years.
So in your professional opinion, after spending 400 plus hours with three or four different people here, do you see anything that would say that Shore Acres needs a forensic audit?
No, not in my opinion.
Okay. I appreciate your time, sir. Anybody else have any questions, Mr. Manning?
Sir.
Thank you. Have a good
appreciate
evening.
You'll have a good meeting.
Thank you.
Appreciate this class today.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to council reports and requests. Mayor Sanford is obviously not here, so we're going to skip that one. We're going to move straight over to 5.0. This is public hearings and public comment. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted, unfortunately. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. What I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to start right over here on the back row, and I'm going to go around and back and forth. So, do you have any comments or questions for council?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Mr. Stout?
No.
Ms. Flowers? Ms. Ramos? Mr. Kent?
No, sir.
Mr. Harris?
No.
Mr.
Serving only.
Wait?
No.
No?
Yes, sir.
Moses?
Not done.
Yes, sir? Wouldn't
do any good.
No. Okay. Wouldn't do any good for Ms. Stetson.
I do.
Ms. Stevens. State your name and your address for the record.
Stetson Stevens, 3508 West Bayou Drive.
Thank you.
My comments are about items of community interest, which I realize that's one that we skipped. Is it okay if I still ask?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm trying to
comment
about...
During this time, you can say, anybody can say anything they want to, we just can't address you.
That's fine. I do have a question to go, though, to see if something's okay.
We cannot answer you tonight.
Okay, that's fine. There was comments about, some of them I can't ask because the person's not here, but one of the comments that I've been hearing is about those new speed limit signs are so small. Is there any way that myself, as a community person that lives here, as a resident, can maybe go out and get some quotes to people that I know that we can maybe get some good deals to do with the caution children at play to attach to those posts? Can y'all consider that? And I'll get several bids.
Unfortunately, we can't answer you directly.
No, but can you think of, is that something you can maybe think about and get back with me?
I see several people writing it down, so I think so.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That's a great idea.
Answer the part. It's got about
two to play. Angela Wharton, 228 Seagrove. I'm just curious what the status of is on the heavy trash. I have heavy trash, and if y'all can't get the heavy trash, I drive a small, tiny car, and I can't physically bring it to y'all's little bring-up thing. So if I can't have y'all pick it up, I'd really like to burn it in place. Shut it. I'd do like a community thing. I'd open the extra lot up for a barbecue. I just don't want the arson charges at all. But I would rather have the green up. As I've driven out of the neighborhood, I've seen several people that have green trash out that needs to pick up. It's not just me. But I would like to burn it.
Thank you, ma'am. Andrews, Mr. Andrews? Yes? All right, we'll move on to...
If you don't mind, may I speak, sir? I'm sorry. If you don't mind.
You're going to interrupt my meeting.
I'm sorry, sir. If you don't mind.
Mr. Moses, step to the plate.
Thank you. Rick Moses, 3556 by 84th Drive. Sorry, because I can't even remember my address for a while. First off, I want to thank the council for the time and the effort you put in to come up here. I know it takes a lot of it. I wish I could have saw this room or seen this room this full when I was attending, but needless to say, but this is good. It's people coming out and letting them know how they feel. I came up here tonight to talk about a few things, but I decided to hold back on that for now. But there's just one small little item. It's trivial. I could have said it after the meeting, but I thought I'll say it now. I know we worked really hard to get the wall up there and make our city look so pretty coming in the front gate. If we could, I know David can make it happen in 2 seconds. Get a hold of Republic and tell them to get their outhouse picked up. Laying in the front. You know, I worked real hard to get that wall up. It sure looks pretty. But, you know, something about the thing full laying on the side just doesn't look pretty. But other than that, that's really all I said. I didn't want to bother them after you always put them in the house as it is. And I want to appreciate everybody's time. I want to thank the citizens for everything when I was in office and everything they did. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move now to 6.1. Mr. Stahl, City Administrator's report. You've got four different items on them.
Good evening. We'll start with 6.1.1 West Country Club Drive, our shoreline project. As reported previously, the underground work excavation and street repair has been completed. They are coming back to do cured-in-place pipe for the balance of that. We had hoped to have it scheduled by today. It has not been scheduled. They did delay for a week while we replaced Compton Lift Station 1 and were able to lower the level in that line. So we're still probably 1 to 2 weeks away from that work happening. It will all occur through manholes that are existing. There won't be any heavy equipment or construction. And that will line our existing pipe, and we will have one good solid sewer pipe from Schroeger's Boulevard to the north edge of the city under the water tower. Item 6.1, any questions?
Any questions?
Sorry.
Have we been invoiced for that?
We have not been invoiced for that. I understand today that we will get an invoice for the work that has been performed to date because of the lag between the two. and I expect that tomorrow morning. I will be reviewing that to see how under budget we are at this point. Certainly without the cured in place happening, it will be under budget. But my expectation is that we're coming under budget on the whole project because we didn't have to do any well planning, and that's about $45,000 worth.
Okay. Before we continue to 6.1.2, is there any way you can fix the air conditioning?
Yes, I did, and it has a timeout. This is very energy efficient, and it wants to make sure you really want the air conditioning on.
Okay. I'm in favor of an old-fashioned thermostat. Oh, 6.1.2, Mr. Stone.
This is the sewer line failure on Shore Acres Boulevard at Westview. It's actually two separate lines, and there's the air conditioning. We have a lift station between Sunrise and Westview that pumps to the manhole in the intersection of Westview and Shore Acres. In doing so, it generates hydrogen sulfide gas, which condenses on the top of the pipe in the sulfuric acid and erodes the concrete pipe that's been in the ground for a little more than 50 years. That pipe has failed near that manhole in both directions. The one that comes from Oakdale, an 8-inch line to that manhole, and the one that goes down Shore Acres Boulevard coming this direction with the flow. We had preparatory work done. We had a service come out and do TV work so we could see what our conditions were. They determined that both those lines were 8-inch lines. As you know, we contracted for that. We did a budget amendment. We worked with the county to get emergency permits in place. We got the emergency permits were sorted on Friday and then came unsorted today. I had a meeting with the county, wanted to do a work stop. We didn't. We also discovered that when they excavated, it's not an 8-inch line, it's a 12-inch line. That will have an impact as to the cost of the project. It is unit pricing. The impact is not going to be that significant in that there's 500 feet of pipe bursting. 400 of that is between the manhole at Shore Acres Boulevard and Oakdale, and only 100 of that was on Shore Acres Boulevard. So the delta difference of pipe, I will know in the morning as well, for that portion that comes down Shore Acres Boulevard. However, they cleared the line for the 100 feet and TV'd that today again. This contractor, they seriously questioned that they'll be able to tie into the pipe at 100 feet. As you know, we're going to set a manhole there. So at this point, it looks like we're going to go to 125 feet to get another 25 feet of good pipe. Don't want to dig more than one hole. Every time we dig a hole, it costs money and repair the surface. Harris County gave us a permit to do the sewer work, but not the street work. And so that permit is still pending, and we're going to hold our feet to the fire on that. I still intend to visit with them about assisting us with the restoration of the surface, but we're only talking a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, now, all they have a very much a sense of urgency on this?
Yes. Harris County didn't have very much of a
urgency. Okay, we do, right?
But we do. And we pressed it forward. Still looks like we may be able to get this project, the underground work done by Thursday.
Okay.
Tomorrow manhole will be delivered, and we're going to keep pressing on. So there may be some variations in the project, but we're still on track to have the street reopened with steel plates by the weekend.
All right. Thank you. Any questions on that?
I have one question. With the weather looking like it's going to be the next few days, if we get heavy rains, is that going to impact and delay the progress of this?
No,
it shouldn't. They'll just be wet.
No, they have the excavation done. The shoring is in place.
Okay.
There'll be water in the hole, but that won't impact what they're doing. It should just press forward.
Okay. Thank you.
6.1.3, wastewater lift station number one.
We've had some pump issues at lift station number one, which is our main lift station. We had one pump that failed and was pulled to be looked at, being rebuilt, and cost estimates done. And while that pump was out, the second pump fouled and failed. I circulated a photograph on the message board where you could see what that looked like. It was quite a mess. I think a large part of that is debris that had collected in the line when they did the work on West Country Club that went downstream and impacted that pump. So we cleaned out that wet well We purchased a new pump, having both of those pumps out of service, one rebuilt already. Put a new pump in last Friday, and now we're back on a standard pump. The second pump has not been rebuilt. It's in the process of being rebuilt now. It should be delivered in 1 to 2 weeks, and the rails will be fixed, and we'll be 100% up at that lift station. But all of that was unwelcome maintenance cost.
Stuff happens. Any questions on that? 6.1.4, status of the palm trees, real quick.
Yeah, good news and bad news. We did have a number of dead trees we talked about before. Last week, Dr. Ong from Texas A&M came out and they did collection of bugs. They swept trees for bugs. They're looking for the vector for the cause of the disease. The good news was that we provided them with some information on our palm trees. They went out and looked at them, and he was surprised at how little date palm decline was readily apparent. He identified 3 trees for us to watch, and that is real good news if there's only 3 trees. 2 of those are on the street right away, 1 is on private property. So we'll monitor those trees, and we may dodge a quarantine bullet on the palm trees.
Excellent. Anybody have any questions?
The palm trees with the red ribbons about around them.
Yes, sir. I worked up a sweat putting those red ribbons on and getting GPS locations. Those are all trees that are either dead or have been identified as diseased. There's 28 of them. At some point, we will need to write a specification for removal and get some quotes and see what the cost of removing those are. In a perfect world, if we had a pot of money, we would just go have all those trees removed and properly disposed of. Being that they were suspect of disease, they can't be chipped, or they've got to go to landfill or be stored until they go to landfill. And so the red ribbon ones are slated to go away, but there is no schedule.
Any more questions, Mr. Stoll, on that? All right, we'll move on to 6.2. The financial report, obviously there's some, maybe a few highlights there.
Yes, you have your year to date, and actually the summaries will point out most of the high points on that. You see the general fund has a balance of, in the checking account, $409,628.68. The utility fund has a balance of $49,968.02. We're holding $58,220.21 in service deposits. We still have our Texas Community Development Block Grant Fund with a balance of $22,757.85. Tech pool, which is our investment pool, that's where we park money trying to gain some interest, has a balance of $684,996.38. We have 4 certificates of deposit. They have maturity value of $255,852. Our tax revenue, and the numbers came in too late to make it to this chart. So I do not have the May numbers. I'll circulate those to council tomorrow. And the last thing would be the sales tax revenue. And I see those numbers also did not come in. So if they're in here tomorrow, I will circulate them, otherwise they'll fall. Thanks.
Any questions from council? Starting with Mr. Bowles?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hoskins?
Just one question. On the general fund revenues, property tax, we're showing the budget to be 949. It looks like we're about 10% off of that. Are we anticipating collecting that other 91, or can you give some background on that?
Yes. We likely will come close to doing that. That property tax number includes not only current taxes, but also delinquent taxes. And so there's an estimate in there for delinquent, but I think that we will meet the budget number in the end.
Mr.
Austin,
anything else?
No.
Ms. Snow?
No.
Mr. McCallum. Mr. Stahl, this delinquent taxes we're talking about, how many property owners does that represent, you think? First off, let's back up. How do we collect those delinquent taxes?
Okay.
What can we do to speed it up?
Well, we're kind of the tail of the dog on that. And delinquent taxes, the city taxes, isn't the lowest, but we're certainly not the highest. The school district has the highest tax debt on those properties. And they pull the trigger on when they think that there's an advantage of spending legal money to do a tax foreclosure or lien. And then we benefit from that. If they end up getting the property, then we get a pro rata share of the ownership. And then if it's sold, we get a pro rata share of our taxes. And we seldom ever get made whole. So it's a losing proposition.
So if residents choose not to pay their taxes, does that impact the city?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
In what way?
In what way? That impacts that $90,000 that we're short there.
Oh, the one Mr. Hosking asked about?
Yes, sir. Now, we do figure into the budget a collection rate. We have a collection rate of 98%, which presumes that 2% of people will not pay their taxes in the given year. And we might need to watch that number and make sure that it's an accurate representation and it's not more than that.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else have any questions on 6.2? All right, we'll move on to 7.0 business. The first one is consideration and approval of invoices. Mr. Stahl, does anybody have a motion to approve our invoices?
I make a motion to approve the invoices.
I'll second.
That was Mr. Hoskins?
Correct.
Anybody have any objections? We'll take a vote. Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passes unanimously. 7.2. This is from Mayor Stanford. He is not here tonight. Here's the deal. If we don't pass this tonight, then we have to wait another year. So I'm going to go ahead and ask if there's a motion for 7.2, to see if there's a motion for 7.2.
I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 2016-191, granting a 10% residence homestead exemption effective for the 2016 tax year and each subsequent tax year.
Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
And again, Snell and Hoskins. Okay. Again, if we don't pass this tonight, I know it was Mayor Stanford's initiative, but it was other people's first. So, do we have any discussion on this? Alderman Bowles.
If I read it correctly, I just want to clarify. So, residents that are homestead, they've got their exemption, they get a 10%. If somebody has rental property, then they're going to pick up the slack. Is that correct? They will make up the 10% where we do not see a loss on the books? Is that how that works?
Yes. What happens is the effective tax rate does not change. This is something I proposed a long time ago, so I can talk to this. What happens is the effective tax rate changes up or down. So it's a revenue neutral thing, but it does impact. The original one was 20%, but so if you're an investor and you own a vacant lot, then you'll pay just a little bit more than if you're a homeowner. Basically, it says, okay, we value homeowners and shore acres more than we value investors. The original intent when I proposed it was so that people could look at when they're investing in shore acres, they could look at the thing and they could compare it directly to other communities because we are different. So that was the thing. But it is completely revenue neutral. You're not voting up or down on any budget item tonight. What you're voting on really is saying that homeowners are a little bit more valuable than investors.
Thank you.
Alderman Hoskins.
I'm good.
Alderman Snell?
I'm good.
Alderman Gill? All right. We'll take a vote then, up or down. All those in favor say aye.
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 Is that three?
I voted aye.
Four. Okay, four. All those opposed say nay. Okay. So 7.2 passes 5-0. You didn't hear me say aye, but I did. I'm just very quiet. Moving on to 7.3. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-184, appointing two members of city council and two members of the public to the audit committee for a two-year term beginning July 1st, 2016, and ending June 30th, 2018. Again, this is Mayor Sanford's proposal, and she did not put any names on her proposal, so I'll leave it up to council as to what they want to do. Do I have a motion on 7.3? Okay. 7.3 dies for lack of motion. 7.4, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-187, appointing Christopher A. Gregg as city attorney and amending the rate of compensation for legal services. That's mine, so I can talk to that. First off, I will make a motion. I can do that, right, Dave? Yes.
Yes, sir.
I will make a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
A second from Mr. Bowles. Okay, the reason I put this resolution to make Mr. Hoskins happy, I need to read it again as the chair. The motion has been made and seconded properly. Right now we are considering an approval of resolution number 2016-187 appointing Christopher A. Gregg as city attorney and amending the rate of compensation for legal services. Do you agree, Mr. Hoskins, that I did that correctly?
Did that correctly.
Thank you, sir. The reason I put this on the agenda is there's been several attempts to either change the city attorney, modify, whatever. And Mr. Dick Gregg is our current appointed city attorney, and he is really ready to retire. And his son, as part of their legal firm, has been acting as our city attorney. He's been called the assistant city attorney for several years now. Is that right, Mr. Stone?
That's correct.
Okay. And so I just want to make it formal that Mr. Chris Gregg is our city attorney, and I want to affirm that because several attempts have been made to, in my opinion, they have been made to undermine his legal abilities, actually. And I want to affirm that this council recognizes his ability, and also, as the resolution states, that there is an institutional knowledge to be gained from keeping that firm as our representative, even though we are changing from Mr. Dick Gregg to Mr. Chris Gregg as our official city attorney. So that is my argument for putting this out there. So now I'll consider questioning, starting with you, Alderman Bowles.
I don't have any questions right now.
Alderman Hoskins.
I'll reserve my comments for later.
Excuse me?
I'll reserve. Can move on.
Okay. Alderman Snell.
Just what is the thought process behind increasing the hourly rate?
Well, it's not increasing the hourly rate from Mr. Again, we're switching attorneys. Before, the mayor had obviously established I hate to say going rate, right, because it was for an attorney that was 6 months out of law school. Anyway, it was a rate that was above the rate that Mr. Gregg, Dick Gregg, had charged us for so many years. Obviously, Mr. Chris Gregg charges much more than that, but he had been charging down to his father's rate for those many years. And so in adopting the new attorney, I just wanted to set at a baseline the rate of attorney straight out of law school, according to the mayor.
And if we just specifically mention Chris Gregg of Gregg and Gregg PC rather than the whole firm, that also concerns me, because if Chris is like out of the country or something, because you've got Dick Gregg Jr. there as well, would we be prohibited from contacting the firm since it's specifically saying it's one person?
No, I believe that if you read the resolution, it says that it's the firm of Gray and Gregg, but Mr. Chris Gregg will be the city attorney. Right now, of course, the resolution from 2002 said that Mr. Dick Gregg is the city attorney, and of course, we would still be able to use the firm of Gregg and Gregg at that hourly rate.
Okay. That's all.
Alderman McCallum?
No, I'm good.
Okay, all debate closed. Is that agreement? Let's take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay.
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 The motion passes 3-2 with Alderman Jennings, McCallum, and Bowles in favor, Alderman Snell and Hoskins opposed. Moving on to 7.5. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-188 authorizing the expenditure of $2,500 from the voluntary contribution fund for park maintenance and improvements, again by me. So again, I will speak to that. For those of you that were here at the last full session of council, the Parks Advisory Committee put on a very good presentation of what they wanted to do, and they offered us several alternatives for what they wanted for the following year. However, we have not spent, as you know, we have a voluntary fund that in your water bill every quarter. Is that right, Mr. Stone?
That's correct.
Every quarter you get a little paper in your water bill where you can donate voluntary funds to the parks. And right now we have about $2,500 in that fund that hasn't been spent. So I thought to honor their service and to show them how much we appreciate it, that we take their three of their agenda items, or their budget items, requested budget items, and that we would use the voluntary funds from this budget sessions so that we could have some progress made, and so that you, the citizen, could see that there is value in working on these voluntary committees and doing stuff for the city on a voluntary basis. And so that was the entire reason for this budget item and or for this resolution. And Mr. Stahl, I talked to Mr. Stahl, it's already been budgeted, but we thought it would be best to put it in a resolution like this so that everybody could see how we're spending the money and what it's exactly going for, because it is voluntary funds. And so we went to be very, very careful with those funds, even more careful with our tax funds, because, you know, you're contributing your money on a weekly or monthly basis or whatever you do. And so that's the three items we came up with. And it totals right at the $2,500 that is in the account now. That account's going to continue to grow as you continue to get to it, but it is a good way to both say thank you for your service and to show them that we're listening. And that you are going to be the beneficiaries from it. So with that, I'll open up to a motion. Do we have a motion for consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-188 authorizing the expenditure of $2,500 from the voluntary contribution park fund maintenance and improvements?
Did you just make a motion, or are you asking for
one? I'm asking for one.
I make a motion that we approve resolution 2016-188 authorizing the expenditure of $2,500 from the voluntary contribution fund for park maintenance and improvements.
I'll second. The second was Mr. Bowles?
Yes.
Sorry to hear it out here. All right. Do we have any discussion? Mr. Bowles?
No, sir.
Mr. Hoskins?
This is just money we've already, from what I'm reading on this, just to clarify, this is money that we've already collected from voluntary contributions. We're just turning it over to the Parks Committee to use for what they're asking for. Is that correct?
That's sort of correct. We can't turn it over to them. So what we have to do is make this resolution saying, okay, well, you've said that, you know, this is what you want to spend these things for,
okay,
but Mr. Stahl is still in charge of this money.
He gets to write the check, and we're going to spend it on it. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Alderman Snell.
No.
Mr. Hoff, Mr. Kelly.
No.
Mr. Hall, so I don't know where that came from. All right. We'll have a vote on 7.5. Consideration approval resolution number 2016-188 authorizing the expenditure of $2,500 from the voluntary contribution fund for park maintenance and improvements. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. And the resolution passes unanimously. 7.6. This is from Mayor Sanders. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-189, authorizing the city to apply for a credit card from Wells Fargo Business Direct, authorization to borrow, for the use of the city administrator, and authorizing two members of council to sign the Wells Fargo authorization and disclosure documents related to the issuance of the credit card. I'm sorry, I just don't know anything about this other than what was, I just don't need, so I'll entertain a motion on this one. Do I have a motion for 7.6?
I have a motion to move it to the next meeting.
Okay, do we have a second to move it to the July 11th meeting?
I'll second.
We have a second from Mr. Hoskins to move it to the July 11th meeting. So it'll be old business on the July 11th agenda. Do I have any discussion on that? Mr. Bowles?
No, sir.
Mr. Hoskins?
No.
Ms. Snell?
No.
Mr. McCowell?
Mr. Stahl, do we currently have any kind of credit card?
We have fuel fleet cards. We have a Home Depot and Office Depot card. We do not have a MasterCard or Visa card that can be used for general purchases.
In your opinion, do we need one?
I would love for you to have one, because the one you have had for the last 11 years is mine.
Okay. So, no more questions. Get those air miles, huh?
All right, right now we have a motion and a second to move it to the next business meeting of July 11th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. And the motion passed unanimously, 7.6. 7.7, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-186, authorizing the alderman to consult with the city attorney with certain limitations and directing the city attorney to attend council meetings, city council meetings upon request. Alderman Bowles.
Just open for discussion.
Alderman Bowles, we need to make a motion so that.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion for consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-186, authorizing aldermen to consult with the city attorney with certain limitations and directing the city attorney to attend city council meetings upon request.
Do I have a second?
Second.
And a second from Mr. McCown. Mr. Alderman Bowles, please state your case.
Okay. In the past month, we've been told we cannot talk to the attorney. I feel like we're all representing the city. We need to talk to the attorney. I think it would be good to be able to talk to him. We have to have present approval. Currently, we have to go through the mayor in order to talk to them, to the attorney. I would like to make it to where if we have a question, if we're working on something, a resolution, or if a PIA or something, we can talk to the attorney if we need to. And there's a limit to this currently, and the resolution is an hour per month. I figure that's good. And that's where I'd like to be able to, if we have a question, be able to talk to the attorney. So.
All right. Mr. Hoskins.
Couple of things about this. Upon the request of two or more aldermen to notify and require the attorney to attend our council meetings. Personally, I think that should be three, because that would be the majority. And whatever the majority of council wants, the majority of council gets. But two is setting a precedent of allowing a minority to actually have control over certain costs in the city. And I would rather that say three. And then the other thing is, if we look at all the council members, none of us were to use an hour per month. That's going to be an additional cost of $10,500 to the city. We're currently already over budget for our budget, $15,000. My big thing on this is the three. I'd rather it be three than two. I just don't think that's a good precedent to set. That's my opinion.
Do you have a motion with that?
I may make a motion, but I'll go ahead and let other people speak before I make.
Alderman Snell?
I share the same concern. You know, the expense is going to be an issue. If we all, well, hopefully we don't all have to call this rent for an hour each month. But if we did that for a year, that's an additional $10,500. And I mean, we're way over budget right now. $15,000 is what we budget for, and we're knocking on 30's door right now. So that is concerning to me. And I too would rather that read three members of council. If it were three, I think we'd deal with it.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
You have a motion?
Let's let Jerome.
Alderman McCallum.
I definitely feel like if I need legal counsel or would like to have legal counsel before the city gets sued on anything, that I would like to have the option of talking to the attorney instead of asking for forgiveness and him writing a big check or the city writing a big check. As far as the number of people, two or three, either one is good for me. I have no qualms in either way that that goes.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, I happen to agree with the resolution as written, and I'll tell you why, Alderman Hoskins and Snell, is it protects the minority. It doesn't give the minority power over the majority. What it does is protect the minority. And the specific situation came up last week. And I had to break the mayor's policy and call the city attorney because as an elected official at Mayor Pro Tem of this council, and there were some questions raised about the mayor personally. And so I thought it relevant at the time to contact the mayor. And I think, although I don't agree necessarily with Alderman Bowles' limitation of 1 hour a month, I will go along with that because I do think it's important that any elected official, and by law we have to, and I'll tell you exactly what the attorney said when I called him. Absolutely, it's your responsibility, and that he had a responsibility to follow up on my request. And he did contact the mayor because she had asked him to. And so I, you know, that didn't bother me at all that he had contacted the mayor. But the fact is that as an elected official, I had a responsibility to contact the city attorney for legal advice on that. And I think Alderman Bowles' resolution is a good compromise. Mine would be unlimited, but you take what you can when you can get it, and I will take the hour. And I don't think anyone's going to be calling the attorney every month, hopefully, and we can move beyond that. But that's my response to Alderman Snell and Alderman Hoskins on that. So I will ask again, does anybody have any motions?
I do. I'm going to move that resolution 2016-186 be modified to read that the following paragraph that states that with reasonable notice, the city attorney or his representative shall attend any meeting of the city council upon request of the mayor or upon request of two or more aldermen to read three or more aldermen. We have a bullet point system that we have in place, and three members of council indicate that they would like to have our city attorney attend our meeting. That would be a formal way to request it. So I think three is more pertinent.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Do we have any debate on this motion? Alderman Bowles.
I agree with you, Mayor Pro Tem. I think that if two people have a reason to want to get it in and you cannot get a quorum, I think it's fair to be able to get the attorney to come into the city council meeting. I think it's agreeable. But, I mean, that way, there's nobody feels like they're being bullied, it can be fair. So that way, if you need somebody in here, we can get them. No problem.
Okay. Alderman Hoskins, anything else?
No, thank you.
Alderman Smith.
I'm good.
Alderman McCallum, any further argument? All right, well, we're voting on the motion. The motion before us is to amend the resolution number 2016-186 to read that instead of two aldermen, it requires three aldermen to request the city attorney. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Nay. The nays have it. Alderman Hoskins and Alderman Snell are the yeas. Alderman Jennings, McCallum, and Bowles are the nays. The motion is defeated. So now we are back to the main motion, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-186, authorizing aldermen to consult with city attorney with certain limitations and directing the city attorney to attend city council meetings upon request. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
And the motion passes 3-2 with Alderman Jennings, McCallum, and Bowles in favor. Alderman Snells and Hoskins opposed. And with that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All opposed? That's adjourned.